So I want to ask you to take your Bible and turn to Psalm 120. Psalm 120. And we're going to read this morning several passages of Scripture out of right in this part of God's Word. And Psalm 120, Psalm 121, all the way through to Psalm 136, because I want to point out something to you this morning, and I hope that in the process we will take time to praise the Lord, and we will. We're actually going to end things this morning a little unusual for us, but the purpose is in every way is to lift up the name of the Lord and to praise His holy name. So, if you're reading from your Bible, you're going to be able to turn 120, 121, 1. If you're living on your device this morning, you may have a little more difficulty keeping up with us. So there's always a reason to carry your Bible in your hand. I want to begin by asking you to look at three pictures that are going to come up here on the screen in just a moment. And this is kind of something I want to introduce you to this morning. They're coming, Brian? All right, there they are. Okay, so now this is a picture that I took. I'm a wonderful photographer, but I took this on top of Temple Mount. We'd call this Temple Mount. The building that's standing there in the background is not the temple. When you drive into the city of Jerusalem, you come up over a ridge and you're looking down and you're looking out across the old city of Jerusalem. This is the thing that is most obvious. That gold dome is the Dome of the Rock. And this is one of the places in Islam that is very important to them, because they believe that at that point, Muhammad took a trip and he went up to heaven and then he came back. But that is the place where he had a dream in the night that he went to heaven, he came back down. And so they built, over this big rock, they built this big dome. Actually, the property that you're looking there, somebody said that's the most valuable piece of property on this planet. So there is, all the way around, there's like a courtyard. There's stone, paved stone all the way around it, and it covers several acres, this Dome of the Rock. And so if you go there, if you go to Israel, sometimes you get to go up on this area, on this plaza. Sometimes you don't. It depends on whether or not people are getting along that day and whether or not the United Nations wants to let you up that day, because they control the access to getting in there and getting out. And so the Dome of the Rock. But the Dome of the Rock is sitting on a location where it's very important to the Jewish people as well, because it is believed that the rock that is there is the place that Abraham offered Isaac to the Lord, and of course Isaac God spared Isaac's life. So this is an important area to every major religion in the world. It's important to Christians, it's important to the Jewish people, and it's important to the Muslim people. So this is the Dome of the Rock, this huge courtyard up there. You're only seeing a little bit of it. Okay, let's go to the next picture. This is a model of what the temple may have looked like, is believed to have looked like, I'm assuming, in the day of Solomon. If you are in Jerusalem, there is a place that it covers a pretty good piece of property, maybe almost as big as a football field, and they have built a complete model of the whole city of Jerusalem, the old city of Jerusalem. And this is the temple. This is a model of the temple. Now, you see a big courtyard. We were just looking at a picture of that courtyard, only as it would be today. And so there's a big courtyard. It goes all the way around the temple. The temple is that little structure right there in the middle. And inside there is the Holy of Holies, the holy place. And then there's the outer court, the court of the women. And then there's the court of the Gentiles. And so this is the area all the way around the temple. This is Temple Mount. The only thing that is left of this is what the area that would be behind it. You're looking at the eastern gate, right here in the front. Behind it is the western wall, which is a very, very holy place to Jewish people today, and is a very special place. So the south is to our left, the north is to our right. To the south would have been the main entrance for most of the worshipers that were making their way up to this Temple Mount, to this plaza area. So let's go to the next slide. Now this is a set of stairs. You would have thought it might have been built by the United States government, because it's stairs to nowhere. There's, you've heard of a bridge to nowhere. This is stairs to nowhere. These are the steps that go up from the south side of the Temple Mount. And so every time I've ever been to Israel, we've spent some time on these stairs because these steps, some of them are original to beyond 2,000 years old. So when Jesus would have gone up to the temple, how would he have gone up? He would have probably gone up these steps. Some of them are the very steps. A lot of times when you're in Israel, you say, well, if it wasn't here, it was near. Folks, this was it. This is how Jesus would have made his way. In all probability, this is how he made his way into the temple. So you have these old steps. Some of them on up close to the top have been repaired, and you can see that. But the steps there are ancient, and that wall has not always been there. So you would have kind of come up onto this temple plaza area, and that's where you'd have been. And all the sight you'd have seen after you got there, because there would have been thousands and thousands and thousands of worshipers there that have gathered together to worship Jehovah, to worship Yahweh. And they would have come to get together to that place to worship. And there would have been high days, there were at least three times a year when every Jewish person would have made an attempt to get there to worship, and they would have made their way up those steps. And then once you get there, then you begin to sing out the wonderful songs of the Lord. So this is just a little bit of a background to where I'm going this morning. I want to talk to you about standing at the place of praise. Now this is Thanksgiving, and I understand it. I understand that it's Thanksgiving. But I want to talk to you about standing at the place of praise. And so if you would look with me this morning at Psalm 120 and look at the introduction to it. Psalm 120, a song of degrees. Psalm 121, a song of degrees. Psalm 122, a song of degrees. 123, a song of degrees. All the way through 15 chapters, 15 psalms, all the way to Psalm 134, which goes like this: Blessed, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Now, we've sung some songs this morning and some songs that we knew pretty well. They're Thanksgiving songs, and we sing them. And there, it seems like every year around this time of year, the radios change, and we begin to listen to Christmas music. We probably don't listen to Christmas music all around the year, but some people may, but we probably don't. And yet those songs, we've been singing them for so many years that when we think about it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, well, we know it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And when we sing Silent Night, when we sing Away in a Manger, we sing, O Come All Ye Faithful, we know those words. They're in our hearts. We know them. We know them. Well, when I look at this passage and I see it says a song of degrees, the first question I have is, what is a song of degrees? And there are many different ideas about it, but it seems to be this. It seems to be the songs that were sung by the people as they were making their way up to this place of praise. As they were making their way up to Jerusalem, the area around the temple. And so if you would take like Mary and Joseph, and they were coming from Bethlehem. They've got a 40, 50, 60-mile journey that they're coming down out of Galilee, making their way all, and as they would come toward the temple, maybe they would sing these songs. Others have said that they were songs that were sung when they returned the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And others have said when it says song of degrees, it is a song of for the higher choir, or the song of a higher key. But the word a song of degrees in the King James Version is also translated a song of ascents, A-S-C-E-N-T, which means you are making your way upward. Are y'all with me? Everybody with me? Okay, so we've already looked at steps, and we've looked at this plaza up here, where the Dome of the Rock is now, but where the temple used to be. And that's a very contested piece of property because you know there's going to be another temple that is going to be built there someday. And so it's a very contested piece of property. So you go up these steps and some have said this. Yeah, it is a song that, these are songs that pilgrims sang while they're making their way into Jerusalem, and they're making their way toward the Temple Mount, and they're making their way. They're always going upward, but some have said that it has to do with the songs that were sung as they were going up these steps. Ezekiel said that there are 15 steps in the temple that he designed. Well, or that was revealed to him. There are 15 psalms here, psalms of ascent, and I can almost imagine them as they're making their way into the city of Jerusalem, that they are getting closer to this place of worship, and all they want to be in the place of worship. And so they, their families, they're making their way. Well, they climb a step, and they sing, and they climb a step, and they sing, and they climb a step, and they sing, and they make their way all the way until finally they're standing at the place of praise. They're psalms of ascent. Now, there's a lot about this that we don't know. We know that when the King James Version translated Psalm of Degrees, there's only one other time in the Bible when the word degree is used, and it's when Hezekiah asked the Lord to spare his life, and God gave him a sign. What was it? It was that on that indicator of the sun, the sundial, the sun moved back how many degrees? 15 degrees. How many years of life was he given? 15 years of life. It is even believed by Bible scholars that these psalms of the psalms of degree that are not attributed to David or Solomon were written by Hezekiah himself. So, just kind of interesting. So, the psalms of degree, and this is what we have. We have a people that are moving to praise the Lord. They're moving to praise the Lord. So, I want you to think with me this morning about three things as we look at these psalms. First of all, we rise to this place of praise. We're climbing up. We're going up. We're coming up to a place of praise. And so they are marching. When I was a kid, we used to sing an old song called We're Marching to Zion. And we discussed that. Brad and I discussed that this week because I always loved that song. That's kind of militant. It's kind of marchy, but I like marchy. And I think it is a great song. I also think it's a great songwriter, and his name was Isaac Watts. And I wonder sometimes when you read the words of songs, what was the author thinking about when he wrote these songs? What did he have in his mind? And I asked Brad this week, could it have been possible that he had these psalms of degree on his mind, these psalms of ascent on his mind, when he wrote the words to We're Marching to Zion? The song, those words are these: come we that love the Lord, and let our joys abound, join in a song of sweet accord, and thus surround the throne, and thus surround the throne. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King may speak their joys abroad. The hills of Zion yield 1,000 sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields or walk the golden streets, then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high. Everything about that he wrote about in We're Marching to Zion is like we're rising up. We're rising up. Dr. John Phillips said when you look at these psalms, the psalms of ascent, that there are three sets of five, these 15 psalms. He said there are those that take you through trouble, those that take you through trust, and those that take you there in triumph. Look at these psalms. Psalm 120. Here are five psalms of trouble. If you're in trouble this morning, this is a good place to go. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee? What shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Here's a man that is in distress, and he has a problem with his tongue. Any of us with a tongue problems today? It's a psalm of degrees, a psalm of ascent, but it's a psalm of trouble. Look in verse Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Here's a man that is in trouble. And he's climbing these steps. And he's crying out to God. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my strength. I don't have anywhere else that I can turn but to turn to the Lord. Psalm 122, down in verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee, because Jerusalem is in trouble. Look in Psalm 123. Unto thee lift I mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of the maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he will have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Look at Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against me. Look down in verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So here's what you find. A person is just living life, just going through life, and they find themselves in trouble. Just like some of you in this building this morning, you said, I'm going through a period of time in my life like I've never gone through before, and I am trying to march my way to Zion. I'm trying to get closer to the Lord, but I am in the middle of trouble. Here's five psalms for trouble. Well, here's five psalms that profess our trust. Look in Psalm 125. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Listen, you don't know what else to do. You trust the Lord. You trust the Lord. Look in Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Trust the Lord. Psalm 127. And I love this psalm. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. I am thankful for a quiver full of arrows. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm trusting that God will use my children. I'm trusting that God will use my grandchildren for the glory of God. Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Down in verse 5, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of life, thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and the peace upon Jerusalem. Psalm 129, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. May Israel now say, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. Look at verse 4, the Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all that be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. Now here's what we have. We start out, we're climbing the steps of praise. We're coming up to a place of praise, and we begin going through trouble. Then we learn how to trust the Lord. But then finally, we're looking at a people that have learned how to triumph in their God. Psalm chapter 130 says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Psalm 131, look at verse 3. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Psalm 132, verse 8. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Verse 13, for the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Psalm 134. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord has made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. So we go from trouble to trust to triumph. And that's what I want you to see. The path to praise the Lord, to stand in a place to praise the Lord, it's not a downward path, it's an upward path. It's every step along the way. And we may start out down on the plain, we may start out down below sea level, but step by step by step, as God works in our life, we learn more and more about praising the Lord until we come to the place when we survey where God has taken us, we cannot help but praise His holy name. And our God has been good to us. So we, this morning, we rise to praise the Lord. We rejoice in this place of praising the Lord. When we finally arrive at the place, we've come up 15 steps and we've reached this plaza on which to stand and praise the Lord. And then once we're there, then we come to Psalm 135, which begins this way. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Well, folks, we have said through the years, and we know because God's word says it's true, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful God we have. And when I read Psalm 135, I find that what the psalmist is simply doing there is he's making a list of the things that God has done in his life. So many reasons to thank the Lord. I think about an old song we used to sing when I was a kid, so many reasons why I love the Lord, so many reasons I can't count them. So many reasons why I love the Lord, so many reasons I can't count them. One is that he saved me at an old-time altar. Can you say that God has changed your darkness to light, that God has taken you from death to life, that God has done a great thing in your life, and so you can rejoice in this place of praise because of what God has done? It's never what we've done, it's because of what God has done. And we need a rejoicing place. We may even need a laughing place. A place where we can just go celebrate all the good things that God has done for us, but we begin to rejoice in our God. Thanksgiving is a great thing, and I'm thankful we have it for a national holiday. One of the things that the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 that actually brings condemnation upon a culture is when they are no longer thankful. It is a warning from God's word. When God has blessed us so much, and we live in houses that we didn't build, and we eat apples off trees that we didn't plant, and we're eating food that we didn't put in the ground, and we are enjoying all of these blessings, then the Word of God says, beware lest thou forget the Lord thy God. Beware lest thou forget God. I think about how the Thanksgiving does three things. Sometimes it lowers us because we do stop to ask the question, who am I, Lord? Why me, Lord? Why have you blessed me as you have blessed me? And then sometimes Thanksgiving loosens us because the burden of our painful past slips away because our sin has been cast away. God has set us free, and we are so thankful. And we reflect upon all that God has done in our lives. So salvation lowers us. It puts us on a level where we're looking up to the Lord, and salvation and thanksgiving loosens us because it cuts away all the sin in our lives. We stop and think about how God has cast our sin behind his back, but then salvation, our thanksgiving never ceases but what to lift us. It lifts our hearts. We have praised our way up, and you can't praise him with your head down. One of my favorite Thanksgiving stories is the story of the Bible commentator Matthew Henry. And one time Matthew Henry was a victim of a strong-arm robbery, but on that particular day he wrote in his diary, "Let me be thankful. First, because I was never robbed before." Now that's a wonderful thing to be thankful for. Got robbed, but I never was robbed before, so praise the Lord, I'd never been robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because they took my all, I didn't have very much. Now here's another way to be thankful, see, folks. And then fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. So we rise to this place of praise. The further we go with our walk, in our walk with the Lord, and I think in particular as we get older, we rise to a place of understanding just how good God has been to us. And so when we get to this place of praise, we rejoice. And then it is good for us to go back, to return to the place of praise on a regular basis. And so now we come to Psalm 136. You'll find Psalm 136 to be very familiar. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his, King James Version says, his mercy endureth forever. It's the word, the same word is translated, mercy is translated love. It is loving kindness. So he is saying, we give thanks to the Lord because his love endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. And so for 26 stanzas, it is said over and over and over again that the mercy of God endures forever. Forever, forever. His mercy endures forever. His love endures forever. His loving kindness endures forever. Chesed, his grace endures forever. In the back of your hymnal, there's a section called responsive reading. Do you all remember a day when we used to actually use those things? I mean, I used to use the hymnal for one thing, but in the back, in every hymnal, there's a thing called responsive reading. Now, this particular text, now we get the picture. We started out down here, we made our way to Jerusalem, and we made our way up to the Temple Mount, and we've come to worship our God. We may have brought a sacrifice with us, but we've come to worship our God. We're not there by ourselves. There are thousands, maybe tens of thousands. There may be 100,000 people gathered together up there, and the Levites are up there singing. I mean, you know, I love Concord's choir, and boy, a while ago, it was fantastic. It moved my heart to want to praise the Lord, and I wanted to sing along with them, which I did. But I think about what would it be like to be up there and hear on top of this Mount Zion, to hear the songs of praise on a great high day of Thanksgiving in Jerusalem. It would be a fantastic thing. And so, I mean, it's called antiphonal praise. And so one group would cry out one thing, and all the way across on the other side, another group would cry out. And you may have heard something like this. Somebody goes, M-I-Z. And somebody goes, yeah, see, Z-O-U. So that's kind of how it was, only it was a lot more holy than that. Maybe even more holy than Go Big Blue, but a lot more holy than that. But the whole thing was they were praising God together. And you know, I love to hear the choir sing because I think there's something about a mass of people that are singing together, to imagine a choir of 10,000 people praising the Lord, and wherever you would have been in Jerusalem, you would have been able to heard it. We used to say when we'd sing, and we didn't worry so much about how it sounded. We just say, let's raise the roof. Let's sing it so loud the Methodist hears. Let's raise the roof on this building as we sing praise. Well, what we're going to do today is we're going to read a passage of Scripture responsively. We're going to respond. And we're going to praise the Lord. Brother Brad is going to lead us in the Z-O-U part. No, I believe I'm wrong about that. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 136. And we're going to read this responsibly. And Brother Brad, I think we're going to read it, His Love Endures Forever.
Okay.
Yep. There are 26 verses. We're going back to the Old Testament on a Thanksgiving day. Because they've made their way to Jerusalem. Now they're standing up there, and they're praising the Lord. And we could say this is not something they would have maybe sang. I think we can say today this is probably what was going on. Amen. Psalm 136. Hey, would you like to stand? Yeah, I see those standing in the back. So if you don't have a Bible or a device to look off of, look off your neighbor And there may be a Bible there in a pew in front of you, and if you don't have a Bible, your neighbor doesn't, then you all steal one from somebody, okay? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords.
His love endures forever.
To him who alone doth great wonders.
His love endures forever.
To him that by wisdom made the heavens.
His love endures forever.
To him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters.
His love endures forever.
To him that made great lights.
His love endures forever.
The sun to rule by day.
His love endures forever.
The moon and stars to rule by night.
His love endures forever.
To him that smote Egypt and their firstborn.
His love endures forever.
And brought out Israel from among them.
His love endures forever.
With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm.
His love endures forever.
To him who divided the Red Sea.
His love endures forever.
And made Israel to pass through the midst of it.
His love endures forever.
But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea.
His love endures forever.
To him which led people throughout the wilderness.
His love endures forever.
To him which smote great kings.
His love endures forever.
And slew famous kings.
His love endures forever.
Sihon, king of the Amorites.
His love endures forever.
Og, the king of Bashan.
His love endures forever.
And gave their land for a heritage.
His love endures forever.
Even a heritage unto Israel, his servant.
His love endures forever.
Who remembered us in our low estate.
His love endures forever.
And hath redeemed us from our enemies.
His love endures forever.
Who giveth food to all flesh.
His love endures forever.
Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven.
His love endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the God that's been good to us.
His love endures forever.
And sent his Son to be our Savior.
His love endures forever.
And has set us in a place of peace.
His love endures forever.
And has made us prosperous.
His love endures forever.
And has prepared a table before us.
His love endures forever.
What a good God we have.
His love endures forever.
Hallelujah. Praise his name.
Amen.
For his love endures forever.